Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the Center for American Progress hosted DHS conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Marshall Fitz. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks so much, and thanks to all of you for getting on the call this morning on short notice. We are here, of course, to discuss the implications of a possible DHS shutdown and the risks that this type of unnecessary political brinksmanship presents. And so I'm pleased to be joined by Congresswoman Dingell, representing Michigan's 12th District, and Vaughn Glenn, a TSA agent at the Detroit Metropolitan Airport. Before I turn it over to Representative Dingell, though, let me talk a little bit about what, and she's going to talk a little bit about what to expect in the House today. I'm going to briefly set the stage and remind folks about how we got here. Remember, in June of 2013, the Senate overwhelmingly passed a historic bipartisan immigration reform bill. And for 18 months, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, refused to bring that bill up for a vote, despite the fact that if he had, it would have definitely passed. And in the face of that intransigence and the continuing dysfunction with our immigration laws, which undermine our economic and national security while leaving millions of families destabilized, the president announced a series of directives last November attempting to fix as much of the system as he could administratively. At the heart of those efforts are a number of policies designed to enable DHS to prioritize limited resources on national security and public safety rather than on working immigrants and their citizen children. Everyone, including the president, obviously recognizes that those measures pale in comparison to what Congress can and ultimately must do to fix the system. But they were important first steps. Predictably, however, given the intransigence of Republicans in the last Congress on this issue, the Republicans went, frankly, crazy. And in December, when Congress passed an omnibus appropriations bill to fund the federal government, House Republicans refused to do the same for our Department of Homeland Security. Instead, they passed a short-term continuing resolution that expires today. They chose to do this for one reason only, to try and use DHS funding as leverage to block the administration's immigration directives. Instead of acting to solve the problems afflicting our broken system, they've spent the last 8 weeks, their 8 weeks in charge of Congress, trying to block the progress made by the president in order to preserve a status quo that nobody believes is acceptable. And they've done it in the most perverse and reckless way possible, by holding national security funding hostage and threatening the economic security of tens of thousands of hardworking Americans and their families. So just to briefly sum up their tragically misguided strategy here, they're playing politics with national security funding and the paychecks of frontline security workers in order to block administrative directives that will actually make us safer while growing the economy and reducing the deficit. So this is a remarkable four-pronged plan of theirs. It shows that they're anti-security, they're anti-worker, anti-immigrant, and anti-fiscal responsibility. That's a lot to accomplish in 8 weeks. So that's where we are today. And so with that, let me pass the baton over to Congresswoman Dingell. Congresswoman?
Thank you, Marshall, and thanks to everybody who's on this call. I kind of can't believe we're having to do this call or that we're even at this point. As Marshall detailed, the political gamesmanship has brought us to the brink of a shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security. And as he has so eloquently said, and as you've read in many newspapers and heard on the news, the safety of all American families is on the line at a time when we see the security threats that worldwide that need to make us all worry about national security. There is no room for politics in national security. I've been saying that for a month. I can't believe we're down to this point. If Congress doesn't act before midnight, the bulk of the Department of Homeland Security's management in support of our homeland security infrastructure that was built following the 9/11 terrorist attacks will be shuttered. So many of you are wondering what that means. Critical grants to help fire departments increase the number of frontline firefighters will be blocked. That impacts many communities around Michigan. 3,260 employees at FEMA alone will be furloughed, thereby stymieing critical disaster preparedness grants. and $467 million for the state Homeland Security Grant Program, and $600 million for their Urban Area Security Initiative, which provides vital resources to cities in southeastern Michigan to help prevent and prepare for the threat of a terrorist attack, will be put on hold. I came to Washington at the beginning of the week, all of the TSA officers who you get to know because you're back and forth a couple times a week were, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to our job? Are we going to be here? Their morale of their thinking that the Congress doesn't value them or understand the importance of what they're doing or their future was so striking. And all last week while I was home, different police chiefs and fire chiefs were, what does this mean? And one of the reasons it is so important in Michigan is because we come from a border state where we know the longer we continue to play games, the greater the consequences are to our nation. If Congress doesn't act, the department's not going to be able to make important investments in border security technology. They're going to have to stop very critical investigations of networks responsible for human trafficking and drug smuggling. And that we in Michigan know that there are real-life consequences that will harm the American people and that we're risking these things just to make, I don't know why we're doing it, and I don't know why we're risking it. That's, I guess, what the hardest thing in the world for me to understand is, how we can play politics. Where homeland security, national security, is not singularly the one issue we need to be united on in this country in ensuring we keep this land safe. Law enforcement officials, border patrol agents, disaster response officials, counterterrorism experts, and other DHS personnel that will help keep our nation safe are going to be furloughed or required to work without pay. What do we tell those people that are keeping us safe that they're going to not be paid? It's just, it's unacceptable to me. In Michigan, we've got 4,593 law enforcement officials and disaster response officials who and other Homeland Security personnel that have been impacted, including a TSA agent like Vaughn, who you're going to hear from next. For a TSA employee earning less than $400 a week, the loss of even a week of pay can mean the difference that they have to make a choice between buying groceries and paying rent. That's just, it's unacceptable to me that the men and women that we've been demanding high-stress jobs, that have demanding high-stress jobs, requires their full attention. They shouldn't be worried about whether they're going to get paid. We can't keep gambling with our homeland security. I'm someone who believes, I just left the caucus to come over and do this call, we need to pass a clean homeland security bill. We've got to stop playing these games of bouncing between two chambers, doing parliamentary maneuvers that nobody understands. We've got to pass it. There's no need for a short-term fix. That's what we keep doing. That's not the answer. We need to pass a clean Homeland Security bill by tonight before the Homeland Security shuts down. Our national security is too important, and the world's far too dangerous for these irresponsible, reckless games. So you know where we are, and I hope that I get to come home tonight, but I'm going to stay here until we get this fixed. But I hope we stop playing these political games and do what the American people want us to do. Stop playing games, but solve the nation's problems. Now I'd like to turn things over to Vaughn, who is a TSA agent, who can tell us exactly how this impacts his family.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your comments, Congresswoman Dingell. And I'd like to tell you that being up front, the TSA is the lowest paid agency in the federal government. We do not have the same Title V benefits, so we're not on the same pay scale as the rest of the federal agencies are. We are what they call a wage scale. And as the Congresswoman just said, the average TSO is probably bringing home $400 a week. And that includes, doesn't include the price that we have to pay to even park to come to work, where we're spending $45 a month just to park our car in the parking lot. And the gas, and that's another thing that they need to realize is that, you know, it may be the Detroit Metropolitan Airport, but that's located in the city of Romulus, which is about 30 miles from Detroit. So the average employee has to drive from Detroit to Romulus every day, which is a 30-mile hike. So you're at the gas station every other day. The morale of the workforce is really low, as is, and with the threat threat of the shutdown or am I going to get paid, we really have to have our A game when we are at a checkpoint. We have to be focused on what we're doing. Just like the last 2 weeks, we caught four people were arrested that was traveling overseas to join ISIS. They all came through airports. They were arrested in the airport. We need to be focused. The threat is real, the threat is viable, and it's active every day. And one of the things that we can't be doing is looking at an x-ray machine or patting down a passenger and having it in the back of our head, am I getting paid tomorrow? That kind of takes our mind off of the focus of where we need to be at. So this is some of the things that's going through my workforce every day, and I'm worried about it. We have a lot of single parents there that can't afford, you know, if we don't get paid, how can we support our household? Me and my wife, we're both TSOs, so we get paid on the exact same day. So this is going to mean no paycheck for nobody coming in the house. Normally, you know, some people have, you know, their spouse may work for a different organization to where, you know, at least they're coming down to one paycheck. There's a couple of us in there that, you know, we get shut down, no one's getting paid. We have to rely on the babysitter to take care of the children. We can't get paid. We can't pay her, and she can't pay her bills. So this has a domino effect to it also. So we're hopeful that the Congress can pass this bill tonight. And this three-week extension thing, I mean, personally, I think that that's just going to, I think it needs to be passed 100% today. And we need to get back to work. We need to have our mind on our game. We need to be doing what we're paid to do and how we need to be focused on what we need to be focusing on. I mean, the threat is real. I was still one of the employees that was there on the day of 9/11. And one of the things that I always promised myself is this will never happen in my airport. It never happened on my watch. I was there when they made those announcements that the FAA shut down the entire air. When can't no one fly? Can nobody come in and can nobody come out? When I saw that on the news, that was the first thing that I said was, wow, I hope that didn't come through my airport. A lot of us take this job seriously, and we understand what we're doing. We understand why we're doing it. I just kind of wish that a lot of the congressional leadership that we have can kind of get to the same mentality that the employees have. You know, we are the lowest paid agency, but we really care about what we're doing, and we understand that we're there doing it for a purpose, you know. I just wish that they get it together, and I thank you guys for letting me have the opportunity to speak to you.
Thanks so much, Vaughn. That was so well explained, and thank you for your service and all that you do, and I could not agree more. I hope we get to a fully funded DHS Homeland Security bill this evening so that you and your family and your colleagues are not stuck in this position any longer. And thank you so much, Congresswoman Dingell. That was those were terrifically poignant and well-expressed remarks. So, Operator, I think we're at the point now where we can open this up for questions.
Thank you. Give instructions. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press *1 to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. And we'll take our first question from Esther Lee with Think Progress.
Hi, guys. My question is for Vaughn Gwen. Vaughn, can you give me some concrete examples of what the impacts of an impending continuing resolution would be for you? Thank you.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's like we already went through this in, I think, January or December. We was up to the clock waiting on them to pass the resolution at this time. And then they just put a band-aid on it and extended it for 90 days. So now we're in February. We're doing the same thing. The impact is, you know, we know that this day is going to come eventually. We know that it's going to be sink or swim for us. We know that one day either they're going to have to pass this budget or we're going to be shut down. And that is always on our head. That is always, that's something that we're always thinking about, you know, is are we going to, you know, survive? Are we going to, You know, what's going to happen to us? You know, I mean, and it's very difficult to maintain 100% focus when, you know, at any given day, is, you know, they can come down and say that you're in furlough status, you're shut down. And one more thing that they need to realize is the impact that this has on the traveling public also. When they shut us down, we're considered non-essential employees. Well, we're considered essential employees, but the non-essential employees, they go home. That's your HR, your lost and found personnel, you have personnel that does administrative work. That job still has to get done, so what they're going to do is pull their employees off of the floor, that's double multitasking kind of thing, and they're going to pull them into these offices and have them do it. For example, lost and found. Passengers leave property behind every day, and they come back. We can't tell them, you got to wait till the shutdown is over with so that, you know, somebody will be in the office to service you. They're going to have people from the checkpoints on the, in those positions, the temporary man in those positions. What did that mean for the public? I used to have four lanes open on the checkpoint. Now I got to shut it down to three lanes because I got to have people that should be on the checkpoint doing these, you know, the administrative tasks. That creates longer lines, you know, where we try to keep an average of getting about 300 people through a lane an hour. Well, we have four lanes. You can do, you know, now you're going down to three lanes. That's going to create a slowdown in the workforce and in the throughput. So these impacts, I mean, it not only impacts us, which is greatly impacts us, but it also going to impact the passengers too. And that's what they really need to consider also.
Thank you, Vaughn. Congresswoman, did you want to respond on the CR question?
Well, I think the uncertainty is one of the issues that I think that everybody is feeling, and they don't understand what the impact is. They, you know, are in. It's not just at the airport, which is something that we all just see immediately, and where I've really felt it for the last couple of weeks as all of the TSA men and women who I've gotten to know have really been concerned in asking about this. But, you know, we have these grants that are in the local communities, and the fire chiefs and the police chiefs have been worried about the impact of a number of these issues. We've got one of the most important border crossings in this country. Everybody talks about the southern border, where our northern border is one of the most important crossings that there is in terms of national security and what's happening. We've seen what's happened in the world, and we need to be telling these people and how important they are to us, and valuing the contribution that they do keep every single day. They put their lives at risk to keep us safe every single day. You don't play games with those who put their lives at risk for us.
Well said. And I would just also add, Esther, that that when we're in operating under a continuing resolution, in addition to the, you know, the uncertainty that is obviously destabilizing for workers, it also means that many first responders around the country are not getting the resources that DHS typically grants. So last year, DHS had about $1.5 billion in grants for first responders, and this is why. And none of that can go out under a continuing resolution. So this is why you've had the International Association of Fire Chiefs, International Association of Chiefs of Police, Fraternal Order of Police, Major County Sheriff's Association, and others weighing in heavily saying no more with this, you know, these short-term continuing resolutions. We need the grants that are going to enable us to keep our community safe, and we can't get those until DHS is funded fully for the rest of the year. So. I think those are great answers for you, Esther. Is there are there any other questions in the queue, operator?
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1. It appears there are no further questions at this time.
Well, I want to thank everyone for getting on the call, and especially Congresswoman Dingell. I know you've got a long day ahead of you, and we're wishing you luck, Vaughn, and so appreciate everyone joining the call, and hope we have a resolution by the end of the day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Yep.
Thanks.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation.